Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The World-Ending Fire. The Essential Wendell Berry is a curated collection of essays by Wendell Berry, the American farmer, poet, novelist, and social critic whose work has shaped modern agrarian and environmental thought. Selected and introduced by Paul Kingsnorth. The volume gathers major essays from several decades of Berry, writing on land, farming, community, economics, technology, conservation, and moral responsibility. It is not a manual on agriculture or a policy program, but a sustained ethical argument about how people should live within the limits of place. Berry writes from the perspective of a working farmer in rural Kentucky, which gives the collection a practical grounding often absent from abstract environmental writing. The book challenges the assumptions of industrial consumer society, especially the belief that scale, speed, and technological efficiency automatically produce human flourishing. Its purpose is to introduce readers to Berry's central concerns, care for land, loyalty to community, humility before nature, and resistance to destructive forms of progress. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, local adaptation as the foundation of Berry agrarian ethic. A central idea in The World-Ending Fire is that good living begins with adaptation to a particular place rather than obedience to distant systems of production and consumption. Berry treats land not as a neutral resource, but as a living context that must be known through repeated work, memory, and attention. This is why his agrarianism is not merely nostalgia for farms. It is an argument that human culture becomes durable only when local nature, local economy, local skill, and local affection are brought into practical relation. Industrial society, by contrast, often separates people from the consequences of their choices. Food arrives without visible soil, energy without visible damage, and consumer goods without visible labor. Berry insists that this distance weakens moral judgment because people cannot care well for what they do not know. Local adaptation, therefore, becomes a discipline of limits. It asks communities to ask what their land can sustain, what kinds of work preserve fertility, and what forms of economy strengthen rather than dissolve neighborly obligation. The essays present this ethic as demanding but concrete. Gardening, farming, repair, conservation, and local responsibility are not symbolic gestures, but ways of restoring accountability. Secondly, the critique of industrial progress and technological dependence. Berry repeatedly challenges the modern assumption that progress means replacing human skill, local knowledge, and ecological restraint with larger machines, centralized systems, and faster production. His critique is not a blanket rejection of every tool. Rather, he questions the cultural faith that technology can solve problems created by the same mindset that produced them. In his view, industrial society tends to treat land, workers, animals, and communities as units of efficiency. When efficiency becomes the highest value, soil depletion, rural depopulation, poor workmanship, and social isolation can be dismissed as acceptable costs. The essays in The World-Ending Fire expose this logic by showing how technological dependence can weaken human competence. A community that cannot feed itself, repair its tools, conserve its soil, or make collective decisions about its own livelihood becomes vulnerable to remote economic forces. Berry also criticizes the language of inevitability surrounding industrial change. He argues that people often call something progress when it is actually a transfer of power from households and communities to corporations, institutions, and markets. The importance of this argument lies in its moral precision. The question is not whether a technique is modern, but whether it preserves health, freedom, and responsibility. Thirdly, affection, humility, and stewardship as moral requirements. The collection gives unusual weight to affection as a condition of good judgment. Berry argues that care for land and community cannot be sustained by information alone. Scientific knowledge matters, but without love for particular fields, streams, households, animals, and neighbors, knowledge can become detached and exploitative. This emphasis distinguishes Berry from environmental writing that relies mainly on crisis, regulation, or technical management. He sees stewardship as a moral relationship formed by loyalty and humility. Humility is especially important because the natural world is more complex than any human plan can fully grasp. Industrial thinking often assumes that nature is a system to be controlled, while Berry asks readers to recognize dependence, mystery, and vulnerability. This does not mean passivity. It means acting with restraint, observing consequences over time, and accepting that human beings are members of creation rather than masters standing outside it. The essays connect this moral stance to everyday conduct: how land is farmed, how food is eaten, how animals are treated, how households consume, and how communities remember their histories. For Berry, stewardship is not an environmental specialty. It is the basic form of responsible citizenship in a world where all human life depends on soil, water, and living communities. Fourthly, food, farming, and economy as connected forms of culture, Barry treats food and farming as cultural questions, not narrow agricultural subjects. In The World-Ending Fire, the way a society produces food reveals how it understands work, land, animals, health, and human dependence. Industrial food systems tend to hide these relationships by separating consumers from producers and by reducing farming to output, price, and mechanized efficiency. Barry argues that this separation damages both rural and urban life. Farmers may lose autonomy and dignity when they are forced into large-scale production models, while consumers lose knowledge of the sources and costs of what they eat. The result is not only ecological harm, but cultural thinning, fewer local skills, fewer independent farms, weaker small towns, and less shared responsibility for the land that sustains daily life. Barry also links economics to household and community health. A sound economy should circulate care, work, and value within places, rather than extract wealth and leave damage behind. This does not make his essays simple anti-market arguments. Their deeper claim is that economy must be judged by whether it preserves the conditions of life. Food becomes the clearest test case, because everyone depends on it, and because its production immediately joins soil fertility, labor, animal life, and communal memory. Lastly, the strengths and limits of Barry's prophetic essay form. The World-Ending Fire works as an introduction to Barry because it gathers essays across a long career while preserving the continuity of his concerns. The collection shows a writer returning again and again to land, community, work, language, memory, and responsibility. This repetition is part of the book's strength, because Barry is not presenting a fashionable theory, but a lifelong argument tested against farming, local observation, and public debate. His prose combines moral seriousness with practical attention, giving the essays a distinctive authority among environmental and social criticism. At the same time, the collection has limits that readers should recognize. Barry writes most directly from rural Kentucky and from an agrarian tradition, so urban readers may need to translate his insights into different settings. His emphasis on local life can also raise difficult questions about mobility, pluralism, economic necessity, and the realities of people who cannot choose stable rootedness. The value of the book does not depend on treating every rural practice as universally applicable. Its stronger contribution is diagnostic and ethical. It asks what kinds of dependence modern people refuse to see, what kinds of damage are hidden by convenience, and what forms of life could restore accountability. The essay form suits that purpose because it invites judgment rather than prescribing a system. In conclusion, The World-Ending Fire is best suited to readers interested in environmental ethics, sustainable agriculture, rural culture, food systems, Christian or moral social criticism, and critiques of industrial capitalism. It will also benefit readers who are not farmers but want a deeper framework for thinking about consumption, technology, community, and ecological responsibility. The practical benefit of the book is not a list of instructions, but a change in perception. It teaches readers to connect ordinary choices about food, work, land use, and local loyalty to larger questions of cultural health. Intellectually, it offers a coherent alternative to both technocratic environmentalism and abstract political critique by grounding its arguments in lived agricultural experience. Compared with many books in environmental writing, it stands out because Barry does not write as an outside observer of ecological crisis. He writes as someone whose ideas are inseparable from long residence, manual work, and repeated attention to a specific landscape. Compared with policy-centered climate or sustainability books, this collection is more moral, literary, and place-based. Its limitations are real readers seeking urban planning solutions, scientific data, or step-by-step activism may find it indirect. Yet its distinctiveness lies precisely in its refusal to reduce ecological repair to technique. It argues that durable change begins in affection, restraint, and responsible membership in a place. If you would like to support Wendell Barry, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.